Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris, and right now we're in the middle of a series called Destination. We've been looking at this thing called the principle of the path, and for those of you who may not have been with us the last couple weeks, let me kind of wrap up that principle into one little statement for you. The principle of the path, simply stated, says this, that it's not your intention, but your direction that determines your destination. Right? It doesn't matter how bad you want to be somewhere. It doesn't matter how much you hope to be somewhere. That's not going to change your destination. Your destination is determined by your direction. Yesterday, a bunch of us went apple picking, and we went up to this farm in New York, and it was a lot of fun, and I think there were a few apples eaten, and there were a lot of apples thrown, and which is basically how that usually works out, and I'm pretty sure that in about 4 or 5 days, there will be a lot of rotten apples sitting in people's houses, because you just can't eat as many apples as you leave those places with, right? And I was really proud of myself yesterday, because whenever my wife and I do this every single fall, it's kind of one of those family things that we're trying to build in as a routine and a ritual, and so we do this every year, and we go up there, and we will walk in, and when you walk in, if you've never been before, they always have like multiple size bags that you can take out to the fields to pick your apples with, right? And I'm telling you, this plays out every single year. And what will happen is I'll walk to the counter and my wife will be like, we need the biggest one, right? Which is usually like this big, right? And so we'll get that one and we'll go out there and we'll pick all the apples. And my arm usually like the next day is really, really sore because you're hauling this thing through this field, right? And wondering why you didn't just go to ShopRite, because the apples are usually a little bit more ripe there anyway. And you're like hauling this thing through the field. And then you get home and about 4 or 5 days later, I've got a bag of rotten apples sitting in the corner of our house because we didn't do anything with them. And so this year I was really smart, and I snuck, like while Anna was with Caden, I snuck up to the counter and I bought the smallest bag. And I came back and she's like, what are we? But you can never eat as many apples as you leave that place. And a bunch of us went up there. We had a great time yesterday. And on the way up there, I actually got lost. It was one of those exits where in the middle of the exit, it kind of splits. Right? And you're trying to follow the GPS, right? But the GPS wasn't far enough ahead of me. I could see exactly where I was, but I couldn't see the split yet, right? And you didn't want to be the guy who kind of pulls into the middle, right? And everybody's honking at him, right? But you're trying to figure out which way to go. And so I just kind of chose one way, and I ended up going the wrong way, and I was flipping out. I'm trying to get my GPS re-coordinated, right? Because I don't have like a really fancy one. I just have like the iPhone one, and so it doesn't like automatically do it for me. But I was in the middle of nowhere, New York, so I couldn't get a signal fast enough, and I'm starting to get anxious because I don't want to get lost. And Caden's already been in the car for an hour and a half, so the things are going downhill fast. And I'm scrambling. Why? Because I understand the fact that the road I'm on is not going to take me where I want to be, right? And it doesn't matter how badly I want to be at the apple farm. It doesn't matter how much I hope that I end up there. The road I'm on isn't taking me there. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been diving into this principle of the path that says, you know what? It doesn't matter where you want to end up. It doesn't matter what you're hoping for or what you're wishing for. Where you eventually arrive has everything to do with the decisions that you make along the way. And so we've begun to talk about that and work through that. And for most of us, we understand this when it comes to driving, right? But there's a huge disconnect between what we understand with paths and roads when we drive and the decisions that we make in our lives. And the paths and the roads that we choose when it comes to our career and the relationships that we have, the friendships that we have, the partnerships that we form, there's a huge disconnect. And so in a lot of our lives, we know, okay, I want to end up here. I want a marriage that looks like this. I want a career that looks like this. I want this. I hope for this. I'm praying for this. But our decisions and the choices that we make are leading us in a totally different direction. And we get to the end and we say, I don't understand. What went wrong? What happened? It's the principle of the path. And it doesn't matter what your intention is, it's only your direction that's going to determine your destination. And so we dove into that a couple weeks ago, and then last week we introduced a new principle, and it's found in Proverbs, and God's communicating to us about this idea of paths. And he says sometimes you know you're on the wrong path. Sometimes you know you're headed straight for a wall. Sometimes you see the danger coming. But for a lot of us, we see the danger coming and we just keep going. The verse that we memorized last week is, the prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going and suffer harm. And so as we looked at this, we realized, man, the choices that I'm making are vital. And sometimes we know we're headed in the wrong direction and we've got to take action. I got to tell you, it was awesome this week because I walked out of last Sunday and we're talking about this idea. And last Sunday, if you weren't with us, we talked about four things that happen when you begin to jump off of a path. Four things that will definitely be a part of your journey if you jump off that path. And we talked about the fact that if you're going to do that, it's going to take action, right? It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to cause embarrassment. But eventually it will bring relief. And I was so excited because Monday I sat down and I jumped on my computer and I made my first stop, which is always ESPN. And I checked out my ESPN homepage and saw, okay, what's happening? And I saw a story that blew me away. It blew me away because it was the perfect illustration of what we talked about. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was perfect. I don't know if you guys saw this story, but this week something happened that shows us this lived out exactly the way we talked about it last week. And it happened in the life of a guy who plays for the Texas Rangers. He's actually an outfielder for the Texas Rangers, right? I think his name's Josh Hamilton. Am I getting that right? Right? And Josh Hamilton had an amazing thing happen in his life this week. You see, Sunday night, after we finished talking about this principle here, the Texas Rangers clinched their playoff spot, right? Which is a big deal. It's what you're working for all year. And if you're a Texas Rangers fan, you realize this doesn't really happen that often for them, right? For Yankees fans, this happens all the time. But for them, this is kind of a rare occurrence, right? So they throw this huge party. And after any time a team does this, there's a huge party in the locker room, right? And there's champagne, and it's just this huge time to celebrate everything that they worked for all season long. And so the game is over, and they're like, all right, let's go back. Let's have this party. And everybody's excited to get into the locker room and celebrate this together and enjoy this together. And Josh Hamilton says, you know, congratulations to all of his teammates, says, you know, on the field, great job, guys. Love what happened here. And then he walks off the field, and he walks straight into the trainer's room. And in the trainer's room, he took a shower, and he walked out of the clubhouse, and he went home, and he never, ever went into the locker room. Because you see, Josh Hamilton is a recovering addict. And Josh looked at this road and this path in front of him. Right? And he realized, okay, I know where this road takes me. And he saw the danger in front of him, and he took refuge. I mean, it was a perfect picture. And the thing that was great about it is that he took action. It took a tremendous amount of sacrifice. I can't imagine what it's like to have all of your team celebrating and you saying, I can't be a part of that. A tremendous amount of sacrifice. I guarantee you it caused embarrassment. Because I guarantee you there were people who said, what do you mean? What? You're going to be fine. It's just one quick, you know, celebration. You don't even have to drink anything. I guarantee you it was embarrassing. But the next morning when he woke up and as he continues down this journey, I guarantee you there will be relief. You see, Josh Hamilton understood the principle of the path. And he understood what God was talking to us about last week with the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer harm for it. And in our lives, this is crucial. And we talked about that last week because the decisions that you make now, they don't just affect now, right? The decisions that you make in your 20s, they affect your 30s. Decisions that you make in your 30s, they affect your 40s. Some of the decisions that you're making right now in your relationships are going to affect the relationships that you're going to have for the rest of your life. And although we would like to live like right now is just now, that's not true. And every decision that we make right now is going to have ramifications for the decisions that we're going to be faced with in the future. And so the question that we began to ask last week is this question of, okay, how do we know? And I want to kind of continue with that question this week, and again as we go into next week. How do you know? Because it's so important. And realizing how these decisions kind of domino effect one on top of the other. How do we know we've made the right decision? And the truth is, you know, you take God's word out of the equation, you take all that. It would be wonderful if there was like this one central database, right? Wouldn't it be great if there was like this one central database where, you know, for a couple thousand years, somebody just started cataloging decisions that other people were making, right? And so faced with these circumstances, with these variables, X, Y, and Z, you know, so-and-so made this decision and this is how it worked out. Right? So that eventually we could get to the point where we would realize, okay, if I make this decision, the chances are, like, you know, you go to the database and you plug in your situation and you're like, you know, I'm dating this guy and he's this tall and he has this color hair and he's got this kind of a job and he drives this kind of car, which I know works against him, but still, right? And you're like plugging these variables into this computer and it comes back to you and says, well, you know, like 6,000 people have made decision A and 3,000 people have made decision B, and the percentages are that you got like a 65% chance of this thing working out and like a 35% chance of it just going really, really bad, right? Like, wouldn't it be great if you could just, if everything was put in place where you could know, okay, if I make this decision, the percentages work either in my favor or against me, and we could finally get a grasp on, okay, how does this work out? Because for some of us, we look at this and we say, if I just knew what the answer was, if I just knew the future, if I just knew what was ahead of me, then I'd be able to make the decision. And for some of us, we sit there and we think, man, if I just knew that. But for others of us, we've been around long enough to know that that might not actually be the answer. Because for some of you, you've been around long enough and you've experienced enough of life, or maybe you've just experienced enough of yourself to realize that sometimes even when you have the information, you still make the wrong choice. And even if you had the database, you'd still make the wrong choice. And you realize, you know what, I don't know. I mean, I think it would be nice to have that, but I see myself making decisions even when I have the information, and it still doesn't work out. I still make the wrong choice. Just a quick survey here. How many of you know really, really, really smart people who seem to know everything but have made really, really bad decisions? Really? There are like some people here who don't know that. Keep your hand up. All right. How many of you is it you? Right? Like we all know this. We've all been in these situations, right, where we have all the information and we know exactly how it's going to turn out, and yet still we make bad decisions. Some of you have financial planners, right? I secretly envy you because you have finances to plan, right? And you pay this money to go see this financial planner. And they walk you through this, and they get all the information from you, and they look at all the information that they have, because they've got a lot of information. And they plug in all the variables, and they put together this plan for you, and they send it home with you. You don't know where it is anymore, do you? And it goes in this folder, and it goes into a file somewhere. You have the information. But it doesn't necessarily always change the decisions that you make. Same thing with the doctor, right? You go to the doctor and you sit down, right? And you're acting like you're paying attention. And he's like, listen, you know, this is what you need to do. And based on what we see happening with your health here, these are decisions that you need to make, right? And your wife or your girlfriend's there in the chair next to you, and they're like jotting down notes, right, about, you know, how much sodium you can take in and the decisions that you need to make. And you nod and you leave and you're doing great, and then you go on vacation. And it just goes right out the window. See, sometimes it's not always about the information. And so what do we do? The passage that I want us to look at today is actually written by what is considered to be one of the wisest men to ever live. His name is Solomon. He actually wrote three books inside your Bible. The first is Proverbs, and we've been looking at Proverbs a lot as we've been walking through this series together. The other one is a book called Ecclesiastes, and it's funny because I can only tell you this based on what I've heard, but one of the guys that I've learned a lot from, and actually the guy who wrote The Principle of the Path, which is what we're walking through, Andy Stanley, he gives this advice when it comes to Ecclesiastes. He says Ecclesiastes is a great book, but don't read it until after you're 40. He said, because before you're 40, it doesn't make any sense. After you turn 40, you're like, okay, yeah, that makes perfect sense to me now, right? And so he wrote Proverbs, he writes Ecclesiastes, and then he writes Song of Solomon, which is another book that you probably shouldn't read until after you're married, right? And a pretty intense book about relationships and love and all these things. And Solomon was considered to be one of the wisest men to ever live, if not the wisest man to ever live. And the reason that came to be, and if you question that at all, read those three books, I'm telling you, you will soon begin to stop questioning that. And the reason that happened in his life, and the reason that played out that way, is because when Solomon became king of the nation of Israel, he was extremely young. As a matter of fact, he's like 17, 18 years old. I mean, this guy is super, super young. And as he begins this journey as the king of Israel, God actually comes to Solomon and he asks him a question. He says, listen, what do you want me to do for you? He's like, you know, do you want to be rich? Do you want me to wipe out your enemies? What do you want me to do for you? I'll whatever you ask, I'm with you. And so Solomon comes back to God and God asks him this question. And Solomon comes back to him. He says, listen, God, I'm in charge of this country, and not only was he in charge of the nation of Israel, he's actually in charge of building God's temple. He's like, I have these incredible responsibilities, I have these incredible things in front of me. He's like, but I'm just a kid. He's like, I need wisdom to be able to lead your people. I need wisdom and understanding to be able to lead your people forward, to know how to rule, to know how to reign. And so God replies back to him in 1 Kings 3, 11 and 12. It says, so God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for a long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. And so God says, listen, I'm going to give you understanding that no one before you has ever had, and I'm going to give you understanding that no one after you has ever had. And so as we've been walking through this series, we've been looking at Solomon's understanding, and Solomon introduced us to this principle of the path, and Solomon introduced us in Proverbs last week to this principle of seeking refuge and taking action, right? And so today what I want to do is I want to go and I want to ask Solomon this question of how. Because if anyone should be able to answer that question for us, it should be Solomon. I mean, if there's anybody who had the information, right? If there's anybody who knew the decision to make and when to make it, it has to be Solomon. And we actually find Solomon's answer in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And when Solomon answers this question, he begins like this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What? I mean, this is the guy that has everything together, right? This is the guy who's got all the pieces in place. This is the guy who's got all the information. He says, listen, from the perspective of someone who has all the information, let me be very clear with you about this idea of paths. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your information. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. What he's talking about here, he's talking about your confidence. And Solomon says, listen, from my perspective, from the perspective of someone who has all the information, I want you to understand something. It's not enough. You have to lean into God. Your confidence has to be God himself. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. As a matter of fact, as he continues, he says it again. He repeats himself in the next verse. He says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. In everything that you're doing, every decision that you're making, every path that you're choosing, the first thing you do isn't to go to your information. The first thing that you do isn't to trust your own wisdom. The first thing that you do isn't to trust what you've seen happen before. The first thing that you do is you go to him, you lean into him, your confidence is found in him. See, Solomon understood something about this question of, okay, how am I going to make the decision? He understood that even from the perspective of the wisest man to ever live, it's not enough to simply have wisdom. You need God. It's not enough to simply have information. You need God. And he says, and when you begin to lean into him, when you begin to depend on him, when your confidence becomes all about him and not what you know or how you know to get there, he says, then all of a sudden God's going to begin to make your paths clear. All of a sudden he's going to begin to make your paths straight. See, the truth is, for most of us, we don't need more information. We need God. And for some of you, you've been on this journey and you're pursuing this idea of the path and you're looking at, okay, what decisions do I need to make? And you're coming to God to be able to get information and you're coming to God in order to be able to get wisdom. But the truth is, even if you get all the wisdom, even if you get all the information, even if you have all the knowledge, if your confidence is in your own ability to be able to make the decision, if you're not leaning on him, confiding in him, if your confidence isn't wrapped up in him, you're still going to make the wrong decision. And we see this lived out in the life of Solomon, because as Solomon continues to make decisions, as he's the leader of the nation of Israel over and over again, although he has all the information, he makes decision after decision after decision that destroys the nation he's leading. He has all the wisdom, he has all the knowledge. And yet, as you watch him lead the nation of Israel, there are wars that are fought. And thousands upon thousands of people die because of the decision Solomon makes. Because as he's making these decisions, even having all the information, he trusts himself and he doesn't trust his God. And today, as you sit here, and as you look at the paths in front of you, the thing that I want to make sure that you grab hold of as we walk through the series and we talk about all of these different choices that we're making, is that if you walk out of this series and you think, okay, I've got it together now, and you begin to trust your ability to choose which path to take, and you don't become completely dependent upon Him, you will eventually, even with all the right information, choose the path that will lead you to where you do not want to be. Stanley says it this way. He says, I've realized that as you go down this journey, pride eventually overrides wisdom. Arrogance eventually overrides common sense. Self-importance overrides discernment. And so Solomon says, as you're making these choices, as you're looking at what path to take, says you've got to lean hard into God. And in every decision that you're making, it's got to be all about, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I'm not trusting my information. I'm not trusting my knowledge. I'm not trusting my wisdom. I'm trusting you. And that's easy for us to do in things where we really don't have any control. And so when it comes to the idea of heaven and eternal life, it's really easy for us to trust God with eternal life because we really don't. I mean, what else are you going to do? Right? I mean, we have no control over that situation. But it becomes much more difficult in the other areas of our life where we do have control, because you get to choose what your career is going to be. You get to choose whether or not you're going to have that partnership with that other business. You get to choose who you're going to spend your life with. You get to choose the relationships that you're going to be in. You're in control. Let me ask you a question this morning. As you look at your life and the different paths that you're choosing and the different paths that you're walking down, in what areas of your life have you not yet acknowledged God? In what areas of your life are you still leaning on yourself? In what areas of your life are you still trusting your own ability to make the decision? Solomon says, in every area of our life, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And I don't know what it is this morning. I don't know if it's a relationship. I don't know if it's a business deal. I don't know what it is. But I guarantee for most of us here today, there are areas of our life where we're not acknowledging God. And when it comes to this idea of, okay, how am I going to know? Solomon says, if you want to know, information is vital. Information is important. Believe me, read the book of Proverbs over and over again. Proverbs talking about the fact that a wise man collects information and knowledge is valuable and knowledge is something to be gained. He says, yeah, that's all true. But when it comes down to it, it's about trusting and depending on your God. It's about waking up every morning and taking every decision to Him and saying, okay, God, in this area of my life, You're in control. Okay, God, in this decision, I want You to tell me what to do. And sometimes that's going to mean that you're going to hear Him leading you into things that don't make any sense at all. One of the ways that He does that is through our finances. And so you're looking at your budget and you're looking at how you're going to spend your finances, right? And God says, listen, I want you to trust me. I want you to lean on me. And I'm telling you, I want you to give to me first. And then you're looking at it and what He's saying and what your information and your knowledge are saying are two totally different things, and they're going to lead down two totally different paths. And you have a choice. Will you trust in the Lord with all your heart, or will you lean on your own understanding? And sometimes God is going to step into your life and he's going to say, and right now, this morning, if you walk a couple blocks from here, Susie has a booth set up there, and True Mentors is out on the street for the very first time. You see a couple of the shirts in the crowd here today because they're out there at the music festival telling Hoboken about this mentorship program that's kicking off here, and it's awesome. And a couple months ago, God stepped into Susie's life and said, Susie, I want you to leave behind all the corporate positions that are available to you. And I'm telling you, as we've walked through this process, this has been a huge thing for her. A couple weeks ago, I sat in an office with her, and she got a call from Johnson & Johnson, and Johnson & Johnson called her and said, listen, we've got this incredible position available for you. And she had already went through the recruiting and the interview process, and they said, this position is yours. It makes probably 10 times what she's going to make at True Mentors. And they called her, they said, this position is yours. But you see, God had stepped into Susie's life and said, Susie, I want to do something crazy through you. I want to start this mentorship program in Hoboken through you. It's going to change people's lives. And Susie had a choice. Am I going to trust the Lord with all my heart? Or am I going to lean on my own understanding? And sometimes God's going to lead you into things that do not make sense. But if you'll depend on Him, if you'll lean hard into Him, if in this decision-making process, this path-choosing process, the first question you ask is, okay, God, what do you want me to do? He'll begin to make your path straight. And you begin to experience Him working in your life in ways you never, ever thought possible. And it's not going to be because you had all the information. It's not going to be because all of a sudden you were infinitely wise. It's going to be because when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you acknowledge Him in all of your ways, He makes your path straight. And so my question to you remains, in what area of your life have you not yet acknowledged God? And this morning, will you give it to Him? Will you pray with me? Father, as we look at this passage that for many of us we've heard over and over and over again, and we look at, okay, God, where do you want to take us? How am I going to get where you want me to be, where I want to be? Father, we realize that our direction doesn't start with information. That our direction starts with submission. That understanding where we're supposed to go and how we're supposed to get there, it doesn't start by knowing everything. It starts by knowing you. And so, Father, this morning, we bring those areas in our life where we have not acknowledged you, and we lay them before you. And maybe for the first time, we say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? In Jesus' name, amen.